Would you please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And please stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart? You pray right now that God would give you a humble heart to receive the Word of God. Pray that the Word of God would go deep into your heart and change your life today. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God would open their heart and help them to humble themselves before the Lord, to humble themselves under the Word of God. That the Word of God would go down deep and change their lives today. Pray for the other people in this room. Would you pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may bring you pleasure by my service. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Immorality. Immorality. Trash. In the heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we put it to death. Impurity. trash in the heart. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we put it to death. Sensuality. Trash in the heart. We forsake it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we put it to death. Idolatry. Trash in the heart. We forsake it. Amen? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we put it to death. Sorcery. Witchcraft. Trash in the heart. We forsake it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we put it to death. Enmities. Trash in the heart. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we put it to death. Strife is trash in our hearts. We do not want it. Amen? We put it to death. Jealousy, trash in our hearts. We do not want it. With Christ's help, we forsake it. Outbursts of anger, trash in my heart, trash in your heart. You cannot get rid of it on your own, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we forsake it and put it to death. The next three words we're going to do together because they are so similar. Disputes, dissensions, and factions. Disputes, dissensions, and factions. These all come from trash in the heart. I want to ask you a question this morning. Why are there divisions and fighting in the church? Why are there divisions in the church? One reason is doctrine or belief. Often false teaching creeps into the church. And if we are not careful, the false teaching spreads, and pretty soon a group of people is formed around the false teaching. Please turn in your Bibles. Keep open Galatians 5. Always keep open Galatians 5 and turn with me to Titus 1. Titus 1. Titus 1, 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains, and appoint elders in every city, as I directed you. Namely, if a man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. In your notes, number one, the job of the pastor and the elders is to teach the truth from the word of God. The job of the pastor and the elders is to teach the truth from the Word of God. The elders are to teach the Bible. Amen? And correct, we are to teach the Bible, and we are to correct those who believe something different. That is our job. But the question today is not what is the job of the elders. The question is, what is the job of the people? What is the job of the people? Number two in your notes, the job of the church people is to study the scriptures to make sure the elders accurately are accurately teaching what the Bible says. The job of the church people is to study the scriptures to make sure the elders are accurately teaching what the Bible says. You say, but Pastor, I am not trained to understand the Bible. How can I study the Bible? Please listen to something very important. Number three in your notes. The key to understanding the Bible is simple. Read it prayerfully, carefully, repeatedly, and completely. You can all do that, and you all should. The key to understand the Bible is simple. Read it prayerfully, carefully, repeatedly, and completely. The most important, the most productive part of Bible interpretation is simply careful reading. The most important, the most productive part of Bible interpretation is simply careful reading. And you can all do it, and you all should. Number four in your notes. If the author of the Bible, who is the Holy Spirit, is in your heart, the meaning of the Bible is in your grasp. If the author of the Bible is in your heart, the meaning of the Bible is in your grasp. Trinity Baptist, there is one book of truth. One. And this is it. If you all, if we all, will humble ourselves, let go of our own opinions, and embrace the truth of this book, we can be unified. There need not be any division. The second reason there is division in the body of Christ is pride, jealousy, and selfish ambition. Look back at Galatians 5. I hope you still have your Bibles open to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:20. We have three words at the end of 20. Disputes, dissensions, and factions. These three words, we're taking them together because they're so similar. These three words describe division in the family of God because of pride, jealousy, and selfish ambition. Sometimes people in the church want power. They want authority. They want control. Or they simply want to get their way. Often, people in the church will allow bitterness and hurt feelings to fester and poison their heart. We talked about that last week, how bitterness will poison your heart. And if you or I allow bitterness to fester against another member of the church, the result will be division. The result will be a poisoned heart, but the result will be division. People gossip, people slander, and cause division in the family of God. And often people will form groups and take sides. This is what Paul is talking about with disputes, dissensions, and factions. In your notes, number five, division in the family of God is the result of trash in our hearts. Samuel, can you fix that real quick? We certainly don't want division is the family of God. We want division in the family of God. What do your notes say? In or is? Praise the Lord. Okay, division in the family of God is a result of trash in our hearts. Go ahead and look behind me at Romans 16:17. Do you have that, Samuel? Okay, oh, he's fixing in. Sorry. There you go. Good job. There you go. Good job, Samuel. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, please do not tolerate someone who causes division in the family of God. Don't let them do it. If you see it, if you hear it happening, if you see or hear someone gossiping or slandering or causing division in this church, step in and be a peacemaker. We are called to be humble servants, not self-seeking people. Keep your finger in Galatians and turn over to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ is our example. Amen? We need to be humble servants like him. We should be humble. We should put others before ourselves. Humility is what a clean heart does. Humility is what a clean, pure heart does. Turn with me to James, please. James chapter 3. Please join me in James chapter 3. Always keep your finger in Galatians. James 3:13, talking about real wisdom. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What a beautiful passage. Notice verse 14, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition come from where? The heart. It's trash in the heart. Do you struggle with this attitude? At home? At work? Here at church? Let it go. Let it go and let Jesus clean and purify your heart. Disputes? Dissensions? And factions. They come from trash in the heart. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Trinity Baptist Church forsakes these. Amen? And we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with goodness. The next word is envy. Envy. Envying. This is a lot like jealousy. Jealousy and envy are both the result of selfishness and pride. They are both trash in the heart that we need to get rid of. Envy is not a loving act at all. It is not love. Maybe you've seen someone else prosper in some way, and you want to cut them back down. That is envy. In your notes, envy is trash in our hearts. Envy is trash in our hearts. The religious leaders saw that Jesus was gaining a following, so out of envy, they turned Jesus in to the authorities. Paul says that envy is one of the results of people turning away from God. Look at Romans 1:28 on the screen behind me. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Envy is trash in the heart. We used to be full of envy, amen? But God saved us. God saved us from that life. Look behind me at Titus 3:3-5. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That's what we were. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Envying. Trash in the heart. Trinity Baptist Church, we forsake envy. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we forsake it. The next word is drunkenness. Drunkenness. Drunkenness, intoxication. The Greek word means intoxication or habitual drunkenness. It is not a sin to drink alcohol. However, in your notes, drunkenness is definitely sin and is the result of trash in our hearts. Drunkenness is the result of trash in our hearts. Christians must not get drunk. That is not the life God has called us to. Look behind me at Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Drunkenness. Trash in the heart. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we forsake it, Trinity Baptist, and we embrace the fruit of the Spirit. One final word. The word is carousing. The word is carousing. Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he's probably referring to the drunken orgies that the Galatians had in their society. In our world today, carousing is what people do at a party when they party irresponsibly. Carousing is when people party in an irresponsible way. You've seen it, perhaps you've done it. New Year's Eve, bachelor parties, 21st birthday parties, spring break, this type of thing, this is carousing. Often carousing is what happens when people drink too much. But people may or may not be drunk, but they are just not honoring God with their behavior. That is carousing. Carousing is the life Jesus saved us from. Amen? Here's a question. When you are at a party, do you honor God? Do you honor God? Look behind me. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 5. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. In your notes, we are called to honor our Lord and Savior 24 hours a day. We are called to honor our Lord and Savior 24 hours a day. A day. 1 Corinthians 10:31 on the screen behind me says this, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you go to a bachelor party, you go to a New Year's Eve party, or you go to a birthday party, do you have enough respect for our glorious Lord Jesus Christ to honor him at the party? You are there as a Christian. You represent Christ. You are there to witness for Christ. You are there to serve Christ. You are there to honor our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. There's no exception. There's no time off. Christians can have more fun at parties than anyone else. Amen? But there, you can never slide into sin. It's not appropriate. Even on New Year's Eve. Back to Galatians 5. Carousing. crash in the heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we throw it away. Galatians 5. Verse 21. Paul makes a very powerful statement. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice. The Greek word is prosio. It is in the present tense. Which means what? Which means Paul is talking about a continual action or pattern of life. Paul says, here is what sin looks like. You want to know what sin is? Here is what it looks like. And he lists it: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And then he says, warning, warning. I warn you now, just as I warned you before, those living like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The principle you need to know is this. God's grace is not freedom to sin. God's grace is not freedom to sin. Keep your finger in Galatians, and please turn to the book of Jude. Jude, it's the last one before Revelation. It's a very small book. So if you can't find it, go to Revelation, and it's right in front of it. Jude is a beautiful book. And it was written because false teaching had crept into the church. Jude writes his book because false teaching had crept into the church. And part, not all, part of that false teaching was that Christians could live however they wanted. The Bible calls that error licentiousness. Licentiousness. Licentiousness is a misunderstanding of the gospel. And licentiousness is assuming the grace of God gives you a license to sin. And it's an error. Look at Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Jude said, I wanted to write you about common salvation, but I heard about this false teaching in the church. So I decided instead to write you so that you would contend earnestly, that you would fight for the real gospel. For certain persons, I'm on the screen now, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. Remember, licentiousness is assuming the grace of God gives you a license to sin. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and skip to verse 17. Jude is a beautiful book, and you should read the whole thing. Jude 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless of the great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. God's grace is not a license to sin. Trinity Baptist, just as Paul warned the people of Galatia, I warn you. In your notes, if you occasionally fall into sin, you are a child of God in progress. But if you habitually and continually indulge in sin, you will not inherit the kingdom. If you occasionally fall into sin, you are a child of God in progress. But if you habitually and continually indulge in sin, you will not inherit the kingdom. We've thrown all these things into the trash can. Sin is in the trash can. And you and I will fall into the trash can. Christians fall into the trash can. I have fallen in the trash can. You have fallen into the trash can. But Christians do not stay in the trash can. Christians get out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, if Christ really, truly comes to live in your heart, you absolutely will not be the same old sinful person you used to be. If Christ truly comes into your heart, you absolutely will not be the same old sinful person you used to be. Amen? It's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. You will not live your same old sinful life. And I know that there are some of you in this room. There are some of you in this room. You are truly born again. But you're struggling right now. You're in the trash can. You're truly born again, but you're in the trash can. I'm not talking to you right now. I want to give you some encouragement in just a few moments, but I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to some of you in this room. You are just living in the trash can. You're just living there. You're clinging to the fact that you prayed to invite Christ into your heart years ago. You're clinging to the fact that you mentally believe in Jesus. This verse is for you. Those who practice such things habitually and continually. The word is continue. You stay there. Those who continually indulge in sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again. The Holy Spirit will transform you every single time he comes in to someone's heart. J. Vernon McGee, the famous preacher, in commenting on this verse, talks about the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is this beautiful, beautiful story of a son who rebels and goes off and sins and sins and sins and sins and sins. He finds himself in the pig pen. He looks around and he says, I'm in the trash can. I'm in the trash can. And he doesn't say, I wonder if I'm still a son. He says, I'm in the trash can. I'm going to go, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to talk to my dad. And the beauty of the prodigal son is that if we, who are in the trash can, reach up to the Father and say, I'm sorry, help me, the Father forgives us. The Father forgives us. And if you are in the trash can today, don't leave here and say, well, I wonder if I'm saved. I wonder if I'm saved. I wonder if I'm saved. You're asking the wrong question. The question you should ask is, am I living a sinful life? Yes. If I repent of my sin and confess my sin, will Jesus Christ forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness? Answer, yes. That's the question you should be asking. But J. Vernon McGee points this out about the prodigal son. J. Vernon McGee points this out about the prodigal son. The true child of God gets in the pig pen, but is unhappy in the pig pen until he gets out. The only ones that stay in the pig pen are pigs. The true child of God gets in the pig pen and is unhappy until he gets out. Well, as I said, I'm not talking to you who are true believers and are struggling right now. But right now I want to talk to you. You're a true believer here today, and you don't feel victorious. You're here today and you choose life, you choose Jesus, you choose holiness, but you're falling on your face. You do not feel victorious. You feel defeated. We have all experienced that at times. Amen? I want you to know, you're here today, and you choose life. You choose righteousness. You don't want to be in the pig pen. You want to get out. Trinity Baptist Church is here for you. We exist for you. If we could live a victorious Christian life on our own, we would not need the church. I need you. I need you to live a victorious Christian life, and you need me. And I want you to know that I'm here for you. I'm here for you. You're in the trash can and you want out. I am here for you. I will help you. The elders, we are here for you. We will help you. I want to make a suggestion for you. There are practices, there are spiritual habits that Christians have been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years that help them live a victorious Christian life. They're called spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. I've got three books up here. Spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. Probably the best one. The Spirit of the Disciplines. Understanding how God changes lives. And then kind of a newer one and a really great one, soul-shaping. Soul-shaping. If you are here today and you are feeling defeated, you're giving in to temptation, and you want to live that victorious Christian life, Bible reading, Bible meditation, scripture memory, silence, solitude, prayer, fellowship. These are spiritual disciplines that you should take advantage of. You're not earning your way to God. You're not earning your salvation. These disciplines will help you abide in Christ and live the Christian life. If you need help, come talk to me afterwards. I'll help you learn how to do some of the spiritual disciplines, how to get into that life, fasting, silence, solitude, prayer, these type of things. They're wonderful. If you will practice them, you can find a new level of victory. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful passage. Thank you for revealing to us the trash in our hearts. I pray for anyone in this room. Maybe they prayed a prayer to receive Christ years ago, and they never truly experienced the transforming power of Jesus. They're just living in the trash can. I pray, O God, that they would be born again. I pray, O God, for the rest of us in this room, me included, that fall into the trash can and get out, and fall in and get out, and fall in and get out. Please help us to strengthen our walk with you, to help each other, that we may experience greater victory. In Jesus' name, amen.